and life everlasting. We might say that everything else in our faith finally rests on this belief that the life which began when we were conceived will never end. In other words, in the most absolute sense of the words we use, we shall never die. Our bodies will die, and temporality, which may last centuries, will be separated from our souls. But we, in our souls, will never die. And then, as we've been saying, our souls will be reunited with the bodies which they animated during our stay on earth. By way of introduction to the closing article of the Creed, our Christian faith enables us to view death as the end or finish of our life. No. Our Christian faith enables us to view death not as the end or finish of our life. On the contrary, we are to see it and live by this. What a difference, what a resolution we should make for this retreat, until the dying moment of our lives on earth, to keep looking forward to, and the deeper sense of the word, anticipating our entrance into everlasting life. In the prayer of commendation for funeral services, the church closes our liturgy with a confident hope. May you see your Redeemer face to face. By now the libraries of all nations are filled with thousands of books describing how disappointing, how unsatisfying is man's life in this world. Not without reason do we, in speaking to Our Lady, speak of ourselves as the poor exiled children of Eve in this valley of tears. As we did before, I would like to begin by quoting a question and drawing on the Catechism of the Catholic Church for the answer. What is heaven? Heaven is a place of perfect happiness where the souls of the just see the face of God even before the resurrection of the body. Heaven is the eternal community of love with the Holy Trinity, with Our Lady, with the angels and the saints. Heaven is a kingdom of God which Christ merited for us by his passion and death. purifying with the church. And heaven is first of all the place of perfect happiness. No two people will be equally happy in heaven. Well, then how can you call it perfect happiness? For the best of reasons. Our capacity for happiness will be fulfilled. And the more faithful we have served God in this life, our capacity for happiness will have increased accordingly. As St. Paul tells us, star, no different from star. And beauty of beauties, and no one will envy anyone in heaven. Oh, what a foretaste on earth to know a person who does not envy you, and where you are not tempted to envy him or her. Heaven is the place. Hear it? It is not merely a state. Let me repeat. Heaven is not merely a state. It is a place where the souls of the just, those therefore who have remained in God's friendship until the soul left the body, and seeing God face to face. This is the language of sacred scripture, the language of the church. What do we mean that we shall see God face to face? We shall see Him immediately, with an immediacy that excludes all other creatures as means to our seeing God. Our seeing God, hear it, will be deeper and more intimate than even our knowing ourselves here on earth. Honest? Honest. It is called the intuitive vision of God. And the infallibly defined term is beatific vision. Why vision? Because the mind will see God. Why beatific? Because the will, while the mind sees God, the will be ecstatically happy at possessing the purpose for its existence. In heaven there will not even be, listen, not even thoughts between God and us. Not even the mediation of ideas, which is impossible on earth. And all of this before the resurrection of the body. Well, that's only the beginning. Heaven is the eternal community of love with the Holy Trinity, Our Lady, the angels, and the saints. We came from the Trinity, and we are destined to join the Trinity, the community of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But listen, we shall join that divine community of the Holy Trinity on one condition, that during life we have imitated the Holy Trinity in sharing with other human persons, even as we've said, the three persons in God, we don't use the verb share. Each of the three persons in God communicate everything which one person has, to use our human vocabulary, is communicated to and shared with the other persons. Over the years, in teaching the theology of the Trinity, the hours I would spend in trying to make more clear, always to me, because we're dealing with a mystery, we shall reach heaven only, I repeat, we shall reach heaven only if we share what God gave us with others. Do you hear me? As over the 25 years that I taught them, I had to tell so many of my Jesuit students, by the time they began theology, they were in their early 30s. Look at me. They tell me. Classmates of mine married. 5 children. Here I am. Listening to you spout. That's me. In the classroom. I tell them to sit down. Take it easy. The knowledge that I'm trying to share with you is not to stuff your big head. No. It is that you might share something of the riches that you have received, share that with others. We go on. In heaven we are to be with Our Lady, with the angels and the saints. And remember, heaven is a society. Heaven is a community. Heaven is a city. All of this is locked up in especially one chapter after another of St. John's Book of Revelation or Apocalypse. Heaven is awaiting us on one condition, that we share, and I mean share, and I mean share with others what God has undeservingly given us. Next question. What is purgatory? Purgatory is a state of purification that souls must undergo in order to have the holiness necessary to enter heaven. Infallibly defined by the Church, the existence of purgatory is supported by sacred scripture, especially the Old Testament teaching. That is, we read in the book of Maccabees, it is a holy and a wholesome thought to pray for the dead, for they may be loosed from their sins. One of our lawful ambitions as a fruit of this retreat is to so faithfully serve our Lord, to so patiently endure the trials of life, that our very laudable ambition, that when our body dies, we should sincerely desire and hope to enter heaven immediately. And not have to suffer even a moment in purgatory. We go on. Why do we pray for the dead? This better be emphasized. As some of you by now, I'm sure, know, people tell me they go to funerals, and they further tell me they are lucky if in one out of five funerals anybody prays for the repose of the soul of the person whose body is being buried. Pray for the poor souls. Pray for them every day. Have masses offered for the poor souls. First, those of your own family who are nearest and dearest to you, and others too. Why do we pray for the dead? Answer. We pray for the dead because we are not sure you're already in heaven. We believe the souls in purgatory need our prayers. They do, especially through the sacrifice of the Mass, to both mitigate their suffering and hasten their entrance into heaven. This is all real. Two main reasons for praying for the poor souls: to shorten their length in purgatory, and to mitigate, lessen the degree of suffering that they are to experience in purgatory because of their not having been as generous as they should have been during their earthly stay in this valley of tears. Given the custom, and is becoming more and more widespread, I dare say we should be more concerned than ever about praying for the poor souls. Why? Because so many nowadays are not praying for them. Until the day I buried my mother, I was just ordained. Ever since, I have never omitted this addition to the prayer of thanksgiving after meals. Eternal rest grant them, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon them. May they rest in peace. Amen. I strongly recommend adding that to your grace after meals. Only God knows how long some souls have to stay in purgatory. I believe on some occasion I've shared this story with you of no less than St. Robert Bellarmine. when a mystery by the name of St. Lodgardus appeared to him. Pardon me. He appeared to her. And he told her, "I want you to start praying for me. I have been sentenced to be in purgatory until the end of the world." That was Pope Innocent III, one of the great holders of the papal office. So she prayed. She was both a contemplative and a mystic. She fasted, mortified. 15 years later, Innocent III appears to St. Lodgardus, thanking her. Only 15 years and I'm out of purgatory. Thanks. I repeat, that story is part of an unpublished book, unpublished in English, on purgatory by a doctor of the Universal Church by the name of St. Robert Bellarmine. Never think you are suffering enough here on earth. Purgatory can be very long and very painful. They therefore need our prayers, the poor souls. They need our sufferings, and especially they need the sacrifice of the Mass. When I read, and I cannot tell you what horrible things I read written by Catholic priests. When a priest, writing for other priests, tells them, "Be sure you always have a congregation when you offer a Mass. One server, not enough." And the stupid theologian even dare say, "There is no Mass unless people are there." We've got less than a day to go in our retreat. I want to underline and circle. We are living in the most critical age of the Catholic Church's history. Amen. And I don't have to read St. Anthony Messenger. Oh, God, forgive the editors. My 24th year in working for the Holy See. When you work in the crankcase, you get covered with axle grease. The church, I repeat, the most serious crisis in her 2,000 years of history. And mainly a crisis of faith. Somebody, somewhere had better still believe all 12 articles of the Apostles' Creed and be ready, indeed happy, not just to proclaim these truths, but to die for them. For my first Mass, until the last Mass, I pray for the gift of martyrdom. Well, not yet. Next question. Remember, we're talking about eternal life. Question, what is hell? Hell is the eternal separation from God of those who die unrepentant for their mortal sins. We better believe it. And believing it, we should be willing to pay any price ourselves to keep out of hell and to keep those whom we dearly love on earth. Whatever the cost may be, pay it. As the scriptures tell us, anyone who brings a sinner back to the friendship of God has assured the salvation of his own soul. I'm not sure I did this last year. Did I tell you people that in the next year you should bring at least one person either back to the church, back to God's grace, or a person who is not a Catholic into the Catholic Church? Well, today is what? The 7th of May, right? Okay. I know what Mother's Day is next year. I know whether the Lord will spare the sinner till Mother's Day of next year. But regardless, I'm not asking you, I'm telling you, to ensure your own salvation, I'll give you 1 year. Bring at least one convert either back to God from a life of sin or into the Catholic Church in 1 year. Okay? I won't even ask for a raising of hands.